Welcome to the A to Z Roofing Podcast. We're all about treating our customers like family, and today, you're part of our family. Now, here's your A to Z team.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the A to Z Roofing Podcast. I'm your co-host, Jeremy Wolf, joined by three team members today, sitting here with Kyle, and we have Christine and Adrian Zulo, of course. Guys, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Awesome. Doing really well. Fancy meeting you again here so soon. We were just speaking about our association woes on my current roofing project, but I know, Adrian, you wanted to talk a little bit about some recent building codes that have changed as pertaining to roof to wall straps.
Yes.
Be good if I could speak today, right? Mm-hmm. And how that really pertains to the MySafe Florida project, the MySafe Florida what is the MySafe Florida? It's the
program
to get credit for roof projects, as well as insurance not really aligning with these new building codes. So please tell us a little bit about these codes that have changed and how that's applicable to MySafe Florida and insurance policies.
Right. So, I mean, I guess the first thing we need to identify is what is the roof to wall strap? And what that is around the perimeter of a roof, you have your exterior walls, and everywhere where those exterior walls meet up with the roof trusses, there is a strap that actually holds that truss to the exterior wall. So in previous years, the code only called for a single strap wrapped over the truss with a minimum of three nails, two on the front side, one on the back side. And the code has changed pretty simple. All they are asking for now is a fourth nail or a clip, which is a strap not wrapped over with equivalent uplifts, meaning wind uplifts of 500 pounds or greater per truss. I'm probably losing whoever's listening, but
so I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah. So that's what the code calls for. As long as we have a 500 pound of uplift in those individual trusses, we're good. But now with the insurance companies, when you get your roof mitigation report to submit to the insurance company to get your full credit, they are looking for a strap that's wrapped over with a minimum of three nails. They don't care if there's a fourth nail there. They don't care if there's a clip there with 10 nails and you got 1,000 pounds of uplift. They don't identify that as a full insurance break. So that's like the big discrepancy right now, or miscommunication between insurance companies and Florida building code.
So when did this building code change take place?
So we are currently in the 8th edition, 2023 mm-hmm. Florida building code, but it took effect January 1st of 2024.
Okay, so real recent. So it's to be expected, I guess there's going to be some, you know, a period of adjustment for everybody.
Yes.
What was the impetus for this change? Is this relating to, I guess, hurricane damage and things like that? Or is this just a natural process that evolves over time? They do periodic reviews and they update the codes. How does this happen?
Basically, yeah. So they're just, I always compare a code change to like a bad intersection driving. You know, this intersection needs a traffic light or there's going to continue to be accidents there. So they're seeing problems and then they make the change.
Okay. Makes sense. So the MySafe Florida program, I've heard that process and obtaining the credit for that can be a lengthy process. How does this code change play into that for a homeowner?
So the MySafe Florida, there are several different ways that you can get the grant from the state. It's not only the straps. You also can get a secondary water barrier. And that's another thing that changed with the Florida building code. Roofs with certain pitches, with shingles, we have to have a secondary water barrier. Now, with the Florida building code, if you fall in between a 212 and a 412 pitch, meaning for every 2 feet horizontal, or every 12 inches horizontal, there's a minimum of a 12 to 24 inch drop in the roof, it's just a certain slope, you have to have either a double layer of 30 or two layers or a taping of the joints of the plywood.
And just to correct you, that is for, I mean, these are just technical things for you guys, but if you are actually a four slope or higher, you can have two layers of the base sheet or taping up the joints and the underlayment.
Which gets very confusing as well, because Florida Building Code calls for one thing and the MySafe Florida
wants
the taping of the joints no matter what.
So I hope I don't have to know all this for the application for MySafe Florida, because woo. So what's a secondary water barrier? You said secondary water barrier?
Yeah. So just to your first comment, and I'll come back to the secondary water barrier. So when you do sign up for a MySafe Florida grant, the MySafe Florida sends an inspector to your house to identify what you can do to make your house more hurricane resilient.
Okay.
And then you get a report. Now, a secondary water barrier, according to MySafe Florida, is before we put any paper down on the roof, you have plywood on the house that's exposed, and they want to tape the joints of the plywood with a self-adhered peel-and stick to cover those joints just in case your waterproofing system fails and it treads the water past the joints of the plywood to continue the water running downhill. So that's all a secondary water barrier is, just covering your plywood with a self-adhered product.
An extra layer of protection.
It's supposed to prevent water from coming into the house at the plywood seam. So it limits the amount of damage that could happen were you to get a leak.
Well, good thing we have you guys out there to do all this for us, because
yeah.
it's certainly over my head. I wanted to ask about these building code changes. Is this something that happens frequently? Do you see new code changes every year, every month? Is it every several years? Is there no rhyme or reason to it? Is this something that you're constantly dealing with?
When I first started 19 years ago, we were on the sixth. I got in at the fifth edition, and the sixth edition just took place. Now we are on our eighth edition. So there's been since 2005. There's been one in five, that's six, one in 2020, and one in 2023. So there's been three in 19 years.
Okay, so it's few and far between. That's good, because I can imagine right. If they were doing this stuff often, you'd have a huge disconnect between all these different, between the insurance companies and everything, and all the programs available out there.
And the right. municipalities as well.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say. The building code, that's the minimum standard. There are different municipalities that will adopt or require different, that might exceed what the building code is actually saying, but their specific municipality will want certain standards for their city. So it may exceed building code, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it in other cities.
So basically the best approach to that is identify which city we're going into and call them before we do any work or any submittals to get an idea of what they're expecting out of us, which puts more work on us.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, this just in here, I'm just getting an email here from my association, and they've requested an entire analysis of all the building codes for the history. They want a detailed breakdown of everything pertaining for wall to straps and everything we're talking about.
Perfect.
Get excited for that.
Wonderful. I'll send it right on over.
if you guys haven't heard the previous episode, we're joking about my association approval. They've been fairly diligent. I don't think diligent is the right word. I think fairly incompetent would be the right word about getting our process approved. So, okay, guys, anything else that you wanted to share in regards to the recent building code changes before we wrap up?
Those are the big two.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything else is basically the same.
And it's not really a lot for the homeowner. As long as whoever you're picking for your roofing company, just to make sure that they're going to at least follow building code, and you can't get a permit and pass inspections without following the minimum code. Now, if you want MySafe Florida program grant or you want a break in your insurance policy, those are conversations that you should probably have with your contractor or your salesman beforehand so that you could talk about the different options that can be available. Those might be upgraded costs. Those might be additional, you know, steps that need to be taken or certain photographs that need to make sure that are identified so that you can present it to those programs. But that it's definitely a conversation to be had before signing, when you're establishing your scope of work, because it's very difficult after the fact to be like, oh yeah, I wanted to get an insurance break and kind of plug this in. Can you just do it while you're up there? Because there's a lot of steps that we have to take with permitting and documentation and logistics of which laborers and contractors are going to be involved.
All right. Well, that's why it's important to have an expert on your side to take care of all this stuff for you. So, guys, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been fun. Cool.
Likewise. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we will catch you all next time. Everyone take care and have a great day.
See you later. Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the A to Z Roofing Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive into the world of roofing and that you're leaving with valuable insights and ideas to enhance your roofing projects. For more information, visit AtoZRoofingExperts.com or call 954-22-ROOFS. That's 954-227-6637.